MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Thursday, April 18, 2024, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Bourne. Today's headlines: a car is struck by a train in Beverly. There has been an arrest in the pipe bomb incident at Salem's Satanic Temple. Major road work continues on Linfield Street in Lynn.
I'm Bill Newell, and a bit later in sports, we'll have details on one of the fastest Red Sox games in a long time. Rick?
Under 2 hours. All right, Bill, thank you. Mostly cloudy, mid to upper 40s, high tide, Gloucester Harbor, 8:51 p.m. A vehicle collided with an MBTA commuter rail train in Beverly yesterday afternoon near Pride's Crossing. WCVB-TV reports that an 80-year-old man drove his 2020 Toyota Camry around the crossing gate and entered into the right-of-way as the commuter rail train crossed the roadway. The vehicle was struck by the train. We have photos below on this post from the accident scene. The Lynn commuter rail station will be closed beginning April 20 for signal work. The Daily Item is reporting today that Blue Line service will also be suspended during that time between the Wonderland station and the airport. The Lynn Ferry is not scheduled to resume until after this work is completed on April 29. An Oklahoma man was arrested yesterday for allegedly tossing a pipe bomb at the Satanic Temple in Salem on April 8. Caroline Enos reports in today's Salem News that Sean Patrick Palmer, a 49-year-old, was charged in a criminal complaint with using an explosive device to cause damage to a building. We also have photos down below on this post that were released from surveillance cameras. Gloucester residents will learn about the final design concept for the future open space use at the site of the closed East Gloucester Elementary School. Ethan Foreman reports in the Times that the proposal will be presented April 24, beginning at 6 p.m. at Gloucester City Hall. In a new report, the death of a dog and the serious illness of a second dog has officials looking for answers. WCVB-TV is reporting that one dog died following a walk in Mosley Woods. The reason for the dog's falling ill is unknown. However, the animal control officer and a veterinarian are investigating the issue. The Newburyport Police and Parks Division are also assisting in the investigation, and a statement was released saying, "We want to reassure the community that, to the best of our knowledge, there is currently no identified risk posed intentionally to dogs in the area." Bill Newell on sports next, followed by North Shore Today Extra.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO Sports, bringing voice to the North Shore. The Red Sox beat the Guardians last night at Fenway Park 2-0. Tanner Houck with the complete game win on the mound, just the third complete game in baseball this spring. The game took only 1 hour and 49 minutes to play. That series concludes this afternoon with a 1:35 game. The Bruins and Celtics were both off last night, both to open postseason play soon. High school baseball from yesterday: Marblehead 5, Beverly 4, Masco over Danvers 3-2, and Linfield beat Swampscott 11-3. Softball: Peabody beat Danvers 13-3, while Beverly topped Gloucester 7-3. That's sports. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for joining us here. Have a great Thursday, everybody, here on North Shore Today.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
This is MSO News. I'm Rick Moore, talking now with the Gloucester Public Works Director, Mike Hale. And Mike, good morning. Welcome back to MSO.
Good morning, Rick. How are you today?
Doing very well, sir. And how are you and all down there at the DPW?
We're in full spring mode right now. Transitioned from winter to spring. Came kind of early this year, and unfortunately, it was very wet, so we were a little delayed getting onto the the spring ball fields. Couldn't get on them without making a mess. So we've had a stretch of dry weather, so to speak, the last week and a half. So we are out guns blazing. We're doing all sorts of fields, cemetery work. We have paving all over the city going on right now. A few water projects that are underway. All in all, full swing.
You know, I want to ask you about the winter cleanup because we didn't have the problems with snow that we usually have, but it would seem that the storms, the rain, the flooding and all that, that must have caused some headaches for your department.
Yeah, non-traditional winter storms, ones that, aren't just snow, become more of a challenge. We had a series of events this year where it rained, snowed, sleet, slush. It might end as snow, might end as rain. And I don't think most folks realize those are more difficult to manage because you treat a road with salt because it's cold, and an hour later it's raining and it washes all the salt away, and then it turns cold again, turns to sleet, slush, or snow, and you're right back out treating again. Then you add, heavy rains that cause localized flooding, overwhelming catch basins, nor'easters with storm surges and astronomically high tides, and we had quite a mess along the harbor front and some other low-lying areas multiple times, certainly late winter, early spring. It's a challenging pattern that we're in right now.
I think another challenge, too, possibly, is staffing, because some of these storms, they don't happen just in the daytime. You have to take care of business overnight as well. How does that work with staffing, Mike?
Well, we rely heavily on outside vendors for a snowstorm. Public Works is much smaller than most people remember. There's about 16 employees in the traditional public service division, kind of the old highway department, 20 in the utility group. The facilities group is separate. Those are the custodians, the plumbers, electricians. They typically don't do snowstorms, although the custodians obviously do all the shoveling around city buildings and school buildings. And we've seen a decline in contractors over the year. Once upon a time, the first snowflake, every contractor in town had their plow on, and they were lined up here to get, get a job for the winter. We really have to solicit snow plowing vendors every year now. There's less of them. Winter seems more uncertain now than ever. We haven't had, really big snowstorms in, 9 years. It was, 2015 was that last really big winter. We've had some storms, obviously, since then, but, it's a lot for these contractors to get insurance on cars, find drivers for these plow vehicles. All the maintenance that goes on to plowing is expensive, and if you don't have the return on the hours that you work, it just becomes not worthwhile endeavor. So we have some dedicated contractors for sure, but there's less of them now than in my time here with the city.
Yeah, that makes sense. My goodness. The other thing I was thinking of is you have normal priorities anyway that you have to take care of all seasons, but then when unusual things come up, you sort of have to balance stuff and then put some of your major projects on the back burners, and I'm not sure the public understands that all the time.
There is a continuous shuffling of priorities here. Health and safety, those are typically, the highest bar that we reach for. And there's a lot of just routine and preventative maintenance that goes on in any given day, 365. And you do have to prioritize when you have a snowstorm. Again, the trades folks, they're managing heat or cooling or whatever it might be, whatever time of year it is. Electricians are still doing electrical work regardless of what time of year it is. But, we don't cut grass. We don't rake leaves in the wintertime. So the public service crews, they do some deferred maintenance that we couldn't get to during the spring and summer and fall. They do that during the winter. And when that gets pushed out by snow events, that deferred maintenance just gets pushed out into the spring, which gets us behind at times. It's a challenge to always shuffle the deck of priorities. It's not necessarily a science, it's kind of an art, and priorities change from administration to administration, day to day, they're situational. So you do the best you can to keep all the balls in the air, and if you drop one, you try to pick it up as quickly as possible and move on.
Well, I'm sure experience has something to do with this now as well.
Yeah, I started as a director in 2008, so as far as my time here, I've learned how to manage priorities and try to keep as much of the work current as possible and not get delayed too far by shifting priorities. But they do happen, and unfortunately, from time to time, you know, certain things get pushed to the very bottom of the pile, and they don't see the light of day for some time. And those are the unfortunate ones. That's a staffing issue more than anything. Because you only have so many people to manage those priorities, and you always have to get the first priorities on any list taken care of at the beginning of the process.
All right, let's get to springtime. You mentioned the fields, of course, but the other thing I know is that all the outside construction workers on the streets, the gas lines and all this other stuff, all these companies coming in, a lot of Main Street has been tied up for a long time going on to Western Avenue. There's work on the back shore. There's been work on Mount Vernon Street. What is the role of the DPW with respect to these people who come in to do the outside work, or the outside workers who come in to do the city work?
Sure. So, I mean, there's a couple different piles of this work. You know, I hire outside contractors to take on projects that are too big for us to do. We're not set up. We're not a construction company. I'm not set up with a host of excavators, trench boxes, and, you know, 15 operators, laborers, and truck drivers. We're not set up like that. So we outsource major projects like that. And all winter we've been doing water main work in West Gloucester, Rust Island, Causeway Street, off of Concord Street. And that's going to continue on for the next few months. We manage that completely. And we put out the specifications. We manage the contractor. We manage the design of it. But when you bring in another public utility like National Grid, whether it's electric or natural gas, they're regulated by the state. And they coordinate efforts with us, but they have a responsibility to maintain their infrastructure. And, you know, they sometimes get a bad rap because they have a lot of deferred maintenance. It's their network is so big, and it's so time-consuming, and it's so disruptive. You know, replacing gas mains in Main Street, there's never a good time of year to do that. And last year, they had some delays in the spring, which pushed them out into June when they had not intended to be there in June, which, you know, caught the ire of a number of businesses and city councilors. And so we have to manage that. We have to try to convince them to manage that better. Some things are always out of their control. The work on Western Ave right now, they're anticipated to get out of there in May. Back shore, they have another few weeks on the back shore with that gas main work. Their work never ends. I mean, there's enough gas main in the city to always have a project going on. And they were absent for decades doing wholesale gas main work. And so what's in their queue is bigger than what most people realize. And that's a safety issue. You don't want natural gas leaking out of the gas mains for, you know, again, for safety reasons, and obviously the loss of the commodity, which just drives up the cost of the commodity to users. And so having the gas main work is a disruption, but in the end, it provides reliable gas service, a safe situation, and, you know, more affordable pricing for natural gas.
You know, I used to complain about all the work going on, not realizing that, hey, wait a minute, it's going on for a reason. Things are going to be better. So just, you know, bite your tongue, take your time, and go through the traffic. And it is. It has gotten better, and it's really good to see so much good stuff going on. Now, speaking of good stuff, Mike, what else would you like to tell us about in terms of spring projects and things that you have to do?
We're wrapping up the Rotary, the Civic Group, and the Public Works paired on a project at Stage Fort Park where they purchased new playground equipment. We prepared the area for them. We're doing some walking paths around that playground right now. This is an addition to the one next to the visitor center at Stage 4 Park. That's wrapping up. Hopefully get all the landscaping done in the next few weeks. We're finally getting into grass-growing weather so I can actually plant seed. The new adult slow-pitch softball facility at Green Street is moving along nicely. If anyone goes to Market Basket,
mm-hmm.
you drive up Market Street, look over your right shoulder, you're going to see a nice softball facility. That should be wrapped up in the next few weeks. It won't be open for play until at least the fall because we have to let the grass mature to keep it healthy. But that's a beautiful amenity to the city of Gloucester and anyone who plays softball. Rick, the list is too long.
Okay. Yeah, I believe it.
Going on. There's a lot happening. We are about to enter the 6 to 7 day a week work schedule again, which happens during the 1st of May, and that doesn't end until October. We work every Saturday and every Sunday. You know, there's trash to collect, you know, twice a day on weekends. There's grass that needs to still be mowed on a weekend. It's a schedule for grass mowing between cemeteries, ball fields, parks, other open spaces. It's literally a 7 day cycle for mowing lawns. It's just so much to do.
All right. Excuse me. Two more quick questions, Mike. I'm on the boulevard a lot during a walk. It's taking a pounding with these ridiculous storms, so I'm sure that's a headache for you guys. And tell me about the planting of trees all throughout the city.
Certainly, Western Ave was just increased storm intensity and some notable sea level rise changes. I mean, the flood wall at the high school has worked. The flood wall at the wastewater treatment plant has worked. The boulevard seawall is still a bit low, and that's something that is going to take some creativity to work around. But we've numerous times this winter we've gone to the boulevard and cleaned up, you know, sand, gravel, rock that has washed up, and that takes a beating on the hardscape down there, the railing, the benches, planting areas that just get abused by salt water and sand. We're still cleaning up down there. I think I walked the boulevard twice this past weekend. It looks pretty good. Still work to be done. Again, we team up with Generous Gardeners on their work. And the boulevard's going to look spectacular again this year. For Gloucester's 400th, which was 2023, we worked with a group in the city on acquiring 400 trees and planting 400 trees. We got probably 50 to 60 trees in last year, and we have 400 new oaks that are on campus at Public Works. A lot of them have already been deployed into open spaces. These aren't ornamental trees. These are trees meant to reforest areas that have been damaged by drought, spongy moth, wildfire, whatever it may be, or just an unhealthy stand of trees. You know, we've had to take down a number of trees in the city because of this, and you don't want a sick tree to become diseased and spread that disease to other trees nearby. So there is some forest management that needs to be done. There's a lot more that needs to be done. There's just no time, money, or resources to get into these vast areas of open space in the city to do this work. So you focus on public areas, Statesville Park, other parks, cemeteries. But we're planting this spring 400 new oak trees will be planted throughout the city. And that's in collaboration with Gloucester 400 Trees, our staff, Cape Ann Trail Stewards. The Open Space Committee is even participating in this, which I think is probably one of the first boots in the ground efforts to give back to our open spaces. You know, they're a committee. They vote on, or they make recommendations to the mayor on what would be good or bad for the city. I haven't seen a committee actually get active like this and grab trees and go plant them, which is a wonderful thing. For the city, it's a wonderful effort by those individuals, and you know, trees are generational. We get these 400 oaks in the ground in 70 years. These are going to be massive oak trees, and they'll provide immense benefit to the community from shade, habitat for wildlife, carbon removal. There's a lot of importance when it comes to a healthy tree stock, and this 400 trees, I think, is a great effort by multiple people in the city to look forward. You plant a tree today, the benefits, it's really not noticed. It's for a future generation.
So you've got to be a scientist, an engineer, a manager, and all this other stuff. Very informative, Mike. Is there anything else that you'd like to mention?
No, just as if anyone's listening, if there are, you know, concerns, we ask people to let us know what those concerns are. We see a whole lot of people turn to social media to complain about something that a simple phone call would have fixed it. I can't see everything. I try. Boy, do I try. But there's just a lot out there that we can't see. C-Click Fix is a great tool. It's an app you can download. You can go online and find it. You just enter in, you sign up for it. You can be anonymous if you choose to. And you just, it geolocates you. So if you ever see a pothole, you take a picture of it and you just hit send. It lets us know there's a pothole. And, that gets added to a list. We can go address it. There's a broken piece of playground equipment. Let us know. We'll go and address it. We have a wholesale playground rehab going on right now. We have a vendor coming in to take a look at any, you know, damaged, worn, or vandalized equipment that we have. So that'll be done within the next few weeks. But again, the more we know, the more we can do, and we just look for the public's help for that.
Good stuff, Mike. As I said, very, very informative. Thank you for the visit, and we'll talk again, I hope.
All right, sir. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Good luck, Mike. Take care. Bye-bye. That is Mike Hale, who is the Gloucester Public Works Director with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.